All right, good morning, everyone. Thanks. They're pretending I didn't already do that, but good morning, everybody on Facebook as well. It's cool how people watch these videos. They don't. Very few people watch it live, but throughout the week, people end up watching it. Thanks for joining us for our I Am That Man series. Here we are, and this is week number three. What we've decided to do is we've decided to acknowledge, number one, that the devil is after the devil, not just the enemy. We have a spiritual enemy. He's after men. And we look around this country, we look around the civilization, we say we're all godly men. It's an epidemic in our culture. And fatherlessness is a huge epidemic in our culture. Amen? It's a big problem. It's a big problem in every culture. Okay, that's not just the African-American community, Hispanic community. It's everywhere. Fatherlessness is becoming one of these things where it's just okay. Men can choose to parent or not. Well, that's you're free to do the right thing, homie. That's what freedom is. Freedom is responsibility. But anyway, fatherlessness comes from men not knowing what to do with our masculinity in a lot of ways, I believe. How do we be better? How do we be the men that Jesus calls us to be in him? And I've said this before. Week one, I said this. I think that with the way God designed it, men got it all twisted up. When Jesus says you're the head, men got it all twisted. They thought they were the top. I don't personally think that means that at all. What I see is the structure of the family like this, where the children, if they fall, mama catches them. And what happens with mama? Daddy's got to be there to catch them. The man has to be there to catch them. And we're supposed to fall into the arms of Christ Jesus. That's the system. And so what I see is the enemy is saying, that whole thing will topple if I just take men out of the family. Good men out of culture. Good men out of, right, this country, whatever it may be. So he's cool with the church being 65-70% women. He's not going to oppose you coming here. But he really doesn't want your husband coming here. Because a man who turns and faces Christ Jesus, big things happen. It's true. Guys, everybody's lives improve. That was week one. We also talked about this. Shannon will remember this one. The enemy attacks in two ways that I've seen. Number one, wrong ideas of Jesus. Killjoy Jesus. He doesn't want me to have any fun. I can't watch the UFC anymore. I definitely can't have a glass of wine. I can't this and this. We focus on killjoy Jesus, that if I want to come to him, he's just going to be a taskmaster. The burdens of life, like being alone and not knowing what happens when I die, I'm going to trade those for this religious guy who's going to tell me what to do and what not to do, what movies to watch, what music to listen to, and I don't want that. And so you wonder why your sons and nephews and grandchildren don't want anything to do with Jesus? I'm telling you right now. Number two, he attacks, and this is the big one. Oh, sorry, there's another wrong idea of Jesus that he does, and it's this. It's wussy Jesus. It's very feminine Jesus who just says, everybody just get along. Hey, stop. Don't raise your voice. And he's got blue eyes and blonde hair, and he's never been out in the sun. And he just says, please get along, everybody. And that's not Jesus at all. Jesus is not, we don't see that anywhere in the Bible, in fact. We see Jesus is meek. You know what meekness is? Strength under control. Think Clydesdale, not Golden Retriever. Good, thanks, Marty. Love you. Society has taught us that Jesus is just, and they took the power away from him. And the enemy's laughing, going, of course you're not going to lean your family against wussy Jesus. Of course not. Or your addictions. The things my father handed down to me that he couldn't break, guys, that I'm wrestling with to this day. If I look over and there's wussy Jesus, we're not going to partner up. I need somebody who's got my six that's right with me in this battle. And as I turn a corner, he's got me for the things I can't see. That's what men need. In our culture, the church has said this, especially the evangelical white-collar churches have said this. You can follow Christ, but leave your masculinity at the door. And if you're going to follow Jesus, you better act like a woman. Shh, be quiet, no running. It's true. That's why your sons and grandsons and stuff aren't in church, guys. And I'll tell you the one big one, and I don't want to recap too much, but also apathy. It's not that people sit there and go, Jesus isn't real, he isn't the way. It's people just go, meh. It's 11 o'clock on a Sunday, the sun's out, I don't want to go. I don't want to read. I don't want to listen. I don't want to worship. I don't want to grow. I don't want to change. I don't want to get in there and fight for my marriage. I don't want to do that. I don't want to bridge the gap when my kids aren't getting along with me. Apathy. Isn't that the voice I keep using? Apathy. Nothing changes. I'm reminded of an Eeyore. Thanks for noticing. Nothing's ever going to change. That's a pretty good Eeyore. Thank you. That's Peter Cullen. He was also Optimus Prime. Did you know that? Brian did. Okay, so apathy. Week number two, why we fight. What's at stake? Some of you missed this, so I'll recap pretty well. What's at stake? What are we called to? When a man becomes strong in Christ, Jesus talks about this. He says, we guard our homes. We do what we need doing. We stand guard and protect those we love, and they're safe. If not, Jesus says, a strong man comes in, blows through this family, destroys what you were trusting, and takes the spoils of your home. What does that mean? That means if a strong, if you, we don't become the men that we're supposed to be, that man to our wives and for our kids, the enemy has free reign to just walk in and destroy our spouses and our kids and have his way with them. And that's what I just talked about in the beginning. Dad wasn't there to parent me, so I went looking for that somewhere else, and I found gang members or other troubled kids in the back of the bus, and the enemy just had his way because dad wasn't there standing guard. And I won't even get into the wife thing because I can give a whole other message about that. But we're commanded by Jesus to stand up, become these men. I'm going to be that man. So number one, I said this. I started off small. I built 2 weeks. I said, why are we doing this, right? And at the end, I said, here's the one small little thing we're going to do. Or apathy. All you have to do, men, I gave you a job. A job last week. Pray for your family. Bumble. Nobody says it has to be beautiful. Just pray for the people you love. That's it. Every day. Father, protect them. Help them to eat their vegetables. In Jesus' name, amen. Doesn't have to be beautiful. Doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be anything, but just prayer. So we're the ones. I want to say this. Even if we feel wimpy spiritually, inadequate, small, and fumbly, I want you to think about it this way. Who does that airstrike, that massive attack, rely on? Does it rely on Private Dopey, who's on the radio? Hey, we lost the rest of our platoon. Just bomb this place, help. Does it rely on him? No, it doesn't. Bruce knows. It relies on the general who oversees the billions of dollars of heavy artillery and releases the fast movers. That's prayer. Do you understand that? My wife is scared about this, this, and this. Help my son grow. Keep us healthy in Jesus' name. We received your... Whatever you need is coming in. Do you understand? That's good. I wrote that with Andrew in mind because I knew he'd get it. Let's show this first picture. I'm going to expand on this because I said, how many of you are going to pray? Here's the first picture. Some of you think that this is the weapon you have for in prayer. Some of you think this is what you have because you're not eloquent and like, oh, I don't sound like pastor preacher guy and I don't blink enough like Joel Osteen and my hair doesn't look like that. He blinks so much. That's not a real insult either. That was just an observation. This is what you think you have for prayer because you don't sound, oh, mighty God, heavenly Father, maker of blah, blah. Let me show you what you really have because of who God is and what he bought you. Oh, that's much more like it, isn't it? That's much more like it. You have to know this, man. Heavenly Father, can you please put a hedge of protection around Alexander and Isabella? Can you watch out for us? Can you keep us healthy? Can you guide us as far as education goes? Can you... Or... God, who's actually the one who gives us the weapon, isn't good enough to do it or can't. In other words, get your eyes off you. My prayers don't sound good. It doesn't matter. This is what you have. Now use it. That's what I said. That's what that man does. That man says, what's my first weapon, my most powerful weapon? This, prayer. Father, please help me to meet the needs of my wife. Help me to be more patient. Whatever it may be. And the enemy starts falling in our lives. So, I would like to ask you all without any condemnation, but I wonder how it went for you all individually. I wonder how it went. I wonder if you were able to break through the apathy and the busyness of life and pray. So, let's get into the reference or in the message today as I'll recap. For those of you who chose to step up and start praying for your family, good job. Well done. Orders received. You're going to see fruit in your life. You got to put seeds in the ground for plants to grow. Don't get mad when plants don't grow and there's no seeds. Okay, so listen. I made reference to a thought I had recently. This is a growing thought kicking around. Okay, you ready for this? And I know some of you talked about this. We talked about it already. It's not going to be a big shock, but I want you to make this purposeful and individual to you. If I were to look at each person in here, and I said it before, but what day did you become a man, I would say to these men? Because we're trying to become this man. And so I could look at somebody and say, what day did you become a man? When? And most and here's the thing. Most of us don't know, obviously. And like I said 3 weeks ago, not knowing that is very dangerous. Because we end up with manly bodies, cars, trucks, and toys, but we remain boys. And it's a cycle. Let's look at why this is important. Just follow me. I'm going to build it. The Apostle Paul says... Okay, yeah, there's our slide. No, crap. Put away childish things. Do we have that one? Okay. 1 Corinthians 13:11. Paul is kind of teaching you how to be a man in Christ. He says this, when I was a kid, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child. That's natural. That's good. But when I became a man, I put away childish ways behind me. So what? Okay, here's the thing. Our society never tells boys when they're men, and yet screams at them to put away childish things. Donnie, you understand what I'm saying? 20 years old, and he's living in your basement, and you're going, get a job. And he's going, why? Well, you're a man. Who says? You're asking me to do these manly things, but nobody ever told me I was a man. We build this. Come on. Not just grace for our men, but a better way to do things, all right? Not just grace, but I'm not making excuses, what I'm trying to say. This is actually a huge cornerstone as to why we as men do this dance of hesitation. Women are screaming at to us, step up, protect, provide, be men. And we're going, who, me? My dad's a man, but what about me? I'm only 24. I'm only 32. I'm only 37 now. But nothing has changed. Do you understand that? And women are going, why don't you just naturally become a man? Well, number one, we didn't walk around with dollies and kitchens and practice being a man like you practice being a woman. We didn't do that. Oh, we practice fighting and using guns, but that's not being a man, right? Being a man is parenting. Being a man is being a husband. We didn't practice any of that. But all of a sudden, there comes this time, and it's the weirdest thing, Shainer, isn't it? All of a sudden, everybody's looking at you going, be a man. And you're going, what? Stop. What are you talking about? What does that mean? What does it look like? And why now? Right? Okay, so here's the thing. I'm not making this up. Guys, don't you understand? God is giving us an answer to this. You got little boys? Listen up. Little girls? Listen up, because this happens with them too. Who do you want telling your little girls when they're women? Oh, go ask them when they think they become women. You won't like the answer at all. Do you get what I'm getting at? Middle school teachers? You won't. So maybe you define it before their friends do. Oh my gosh. Anybody feel that? God is helping us here today. So here's the thing. They walked around the United States and they asked, when did you become a man? Most people didn't have an answer, but of those who did, there were two answers. When I get married, that was like 30% of the people who answered. And 70% of the answer was, when I have a kid. What? Because they're having kids at 13. So you think that act makes you a man? No. Do you understand what I'm saying? Maybe. What did I say last week? And it was awesome. If you aim at I don't know, you're always going to get mediocre or worse calamity. If any area of your life is aimed at I don't know, it's not going to prosper. You have to purposely live your life and aim your gun. And our children need to know when they're becoming men and women. Let me back this up. Is there maybe a reason why most other cultures have rites of passage? We study them. It's funny. We put them in petri dishes and look at them. We do. We like fish bowls. Wow. The Maasai warriors. The Maori tribe in Africa. We have teachers that study them. And yet we walk away and we look at them. Well, we looked at you in the fish bowl. We learn nothing from them. Okay, the Maori tribe's rite of passage. Young men begin to get what's called moko to show that they're eligible to marry. Usually when puberty starts, ta moko, every man's moko, is unique. It tells their life story. It symbolizes rank, status, genealogy, tribal history, strength, virility, and courage as well. And they carve it into their skin. They make grooves in their skin with a range of bone chisels to transition from boyhood to manhood. And this may take them months to complete. Number one, you can stop and go, that's stupid, and most of you do. But do you understand what they're doing? How about the tribe that their boys, when they start to get man bodies and start to become virile for reproduction, they say, all right, you're going to enter into the manhood of this tribe? You're going to enter the tribe of men? And the little boy goes, okay, all right, go stitch together those vines. And in a big, long process, they make these big, long vines. And then they climb on this tower that they had made, attach the vines to their legs and to the tower, and jump off. That's where we got bungee jumping. And hopefully, young boy, you've learned from your elders how to measure, because a lot of them just dig it right into the dirt. I've seen it. Most of them live. I mean, it's dirt. They get brutally injured. But if you leap, you're falling, you're jumping off, you're jumping through boyhood. And when you go down there, you're a man. Okay? You understand that? I think the Maasai tribe, they're trying to do away with this now, but the Maasai tribe did a lion hunt. You go out and hunt a lion, bro. And when you come back, you're a man. You bring that lion with you. There's other ones that stick their hands in poisonous ant things, other ones that sit and blah, 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 blah. And we look and go barbaric, but let me ask you this. Okay, ready? Let's play this out. Maybe there's something in this that on this day you're a boy, you accomplish something, you overcome something, and then you're a man. Maybe there's something about that. Now, let's play this out. Let's say a boy goes through a rite of passage, and everybody knows it, and you're declared, you're now a man. A week goes by, the elders come to Mumbuku and go, Mumbuku, why you no protect your wife? Why you leave her, not bring her food? You a man, right? Oh, you're right, I'm sorry. I'm a man. Yeah, you're right, I was supposed to do that. I know I'm a man. I've watched the elders and know what I'm supposed to do. I didn't do it. Now I have a choice to get back on track. Our culture. Why are you not feeding your kids? Oh, man, she's difficult. We don't get along. I got this job and I'm working nights and I haven't seen my kid in 2 months. Yeah, but you're a man. What? I'm trying. You know, I don't know about that. Do you see what I'm saying? Apathy. The door's wide open for apathy. The door's wide open for excuses. No one ever told him, you're a man and here's what a man does. And if you fall and falter, the rest of us men will know that. And there will be great shame. You've not done your job. I'll tell you what, guys. Y'all know this, and they make movies about it every year. When a man knows his responsibility, there's something inside of him that can click. You either choose to rebel against it, or you choose to embrace it, and it gives you strength. What did he say last week? You can do anything with a powerful enough why, right? The woman that killed a leopard with her bare hands to save her kid, why? In our culture, we don't know why. We don't know we're men. We don't know why. It's true. So let me start in here. Okay. When we know we're a man, we know what man does. Now we know we're a man. We know what to do when we are to do it. I've told you before, I can tell you the day I became a man. And I waited too long. I'm going to confess it to you. And mom's not here, so that's good, even though she could probably watch it on there. June 20th, 2006. A lot of you saw a post mom put up where it's been 10 years since, 11 years since dad passed away. I told you this before, so I'll gloss through it. I have so much to share with you today. Please hang with me. I promise it's valuable. June 19th, I remember going to bed. I'd gone fishing with Petey out of Faubourg's at the Pipes. We were fishing for crappie. I don't know why. Came home, looked in the mirror. And it was just dopey, way too skinny guy. And I just brushed my teeth and I went to bed. Woke up that next morning to boom, boom, boom. AJ, wake up. Your father's dead. That night, which that day had passed so weird. How many people know that grief can do crazy, weird things with even time, right, Bev? You're like, how long? What? It feels like I've been awake for 3 weeks. But I looked in the mirror and there was something different. There was this guy I'd never met before, and he was a man, because dad wasn't there anymore. And so I looked in the mirror and I saw a man for the first time. So you know what I did knowing that? I got a job. I helped mom pay the bills. I started cutting the grass. Responsibility. I started doing whatever needed to be done. I was being asked to get a job months prior to that, and I just didn't do it. And I didn't really want to do yard work or anything else. Why? I don't know. But something about that day when dad's gone, I'm here, changed everything for me. Changed everything. Most men don't have that. Just so you know, most men don't have that. But even now, because of that, there are men hearing my voice that are sitting on the fence in areas of their lives, behaving as a boy, not putting away childish things, because inside of us, we still think behaving as a boy, yeah, we still think, man, that's somebody else, maybe our dad. Even though we're grown, lots of us, when we think of a man, we think of dad. Especially if you have a good dad, you think, that's a man. We bought a house, I got married. You still think man is that. Knock it off. Because that's going to lead you in a slippery slope. That's going to lead you into just not doing anything. Not being that man. You got to understand, you are a man now. Your wife sees you through the same eyes that your mother saw your father. Do we understand that? Think about, okay, I'll pick on Andrew. He's not here. Hey, Andrew, do you know that Leah looks at you for answers, for guidance, for all these things that I'm about to talk about, the way that Brenda always looked at your dad? Really? Because I remember when I was 3. Yeah. The end, the buck stops here with Bruce. That's you now. You're a man. And can I tell you something? Every little boy in this place, every boy right now, I don't care how old you are, every man kind of went, ooh. Didn't we? Bill, could you feel that a little bit? Like, oh. Right. Guys, you know, again, grace for men here, but also teaching. Your children look at you the way you used to look at your dad. That is so sobering. Shane, are you hear that? Like, I think about that. I'm like, he looks at me. I always talk about Alex because he's the bigger talker. Alex and Izzy look at me like just I'm the be-all, end-all. If I don't tell them why the sky is blue, nobody in the world knows. Because I'm dad, right? The way I did that with my father. And if he said certain things, I wanted to mimic it. And you know what I mean? Like, he was just it. There was no going above dad's head. It was just him and then God. I mean, like, but here's me going, oh, that's not me. No, I got to own that. But really, I got to understand that. Our kids see us as, you know, as we saw our fathers. We are men now. And if we don't stand at the door of our homes and be what our kids and wives need to be, who's going to do it? The answer is no one. No one's going to do that, and they're going to simply suffer. And we see it everywhere. We see a high percentage of men simply choosing not to parent, not to stick around. And I want to challenge you today that many men never truly become that man because becoming that man, no, let's get right into the teaching, means choosing them over us. That's what it means to be a man, choosing them over us, even when it's inconvenient and I don't really want to. When I'm having a conversation with somebody, and my kid walks up to me, I don't want to, okay? But in a lot of ways, I mean, they got to respect parent talk and all this, but I don't get to just check out. Man, you don't get to just check out and have mommy take care of the kid. Oh, I'm going to step on some steel toes today. You don't get to do that. You don't. You don't get to just abdicate parenting. I don't care if it's at your family's house. I don't care if you're busy doing something. Your kids don't orbit you. We're to orbit our kids in a lot of ways. Do we understand that? My kids are never to be an inconvenience. What I talk about, mommy martyrs out there. My kids are an inconvenience. Daddy martyrs out there. Oh, we're all guilty. I'm not coming at you. This is parenting. This is being a man. Is I don't get to go, you're inconvenient. Get out of here. I'm grilling. I'm fixing my motorcycle. I'm doing whatever. Now, granted, there needs to be times when I do things for myself. But I'm saying my posture is, as a man, I have to parent. I have to put them first, even when it's inconvenient, and I don't want to do it. Now, do we see why most men check out and go, I'm going to go play with my toys instead. No, that's a boy. We put away those childish things. I know this is hard. I get it. What about your wife and family? You are the man. If you don't set a course for financial future, let's say, you've got an opportunity for promotion and you don't want to do it, or you don't want to map your spendings and savings, guess what? No one else is going to do it. Or angrily and in bitterness, she will take on one more thing that she's not supposed to. And I'm not saying every, you know what I mean? If some men are married to accountants, of course she could be the one who takes charge of it, but care. Don't just leave it on her. I'm trying to say step up and have responsibility. Do the hard work. That's what a man does. It's you, basically, is what I'm saying. Whatever it may be, those were little examples, and we're going to get into the real teaching right now. Understand this. Jesus, the Lord, is going to look directly at you for this, men. No one else is going to raise those kids or meet her needs. If you don't do it, they're going to fall, and you were the one God commanded to link arms with him and get the job done. Okay? Are you with me? No, you know me. If you're not with me, I'm going to get angry and mean. Although that's when things get real good. All right, number two, I'll try to get through this, guys. That was all preamble. Number two, here's the thing. Okay, so AJ, so you've acknowledged I'm a man as much as him or them or that guy in the movies, my father, I'm a man just as much, right? So what does that mean? Well, let me tell you what it doesn't mean, and this is such part of my crusade, isn't it? It doesn't mean this. For years, people have even used Jesus' words to twist what a man means. Jesus models for us that being a man does not mean privilege, power, or position. Being a man does not mean privilege, power, or position. So many even churches were built around that. Well, I'm the man of this house. I'm going to wield my power, privilege, and position. Jesus goes, what? Where'd you get that? Well, this one here says I'm the head of the household. Power, privilege, position? Look at your body. Does your head have power, privilege, or position over the rest of it? Oh, well, no, not really. No, if the body gets hurt, the head suffers too, right? Yep. What does your head do? Oh, it's responsible. For what? Everything. Like what, AJ? Like what, Mr. Man, says Jesus? Seeing danger before it comes and protecting the body. Hearing danger. Listening to needs. Smelling. Seeing. Does that sound like power? Privilege? Any of those? No, Jesus says. It sounds like responsibility. And so men said, shut up, woman. You're not as valuable. You're blah, 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 blah. And Jesus goes, what did I model for you? I'm your model. Come look at me. How did I treat women? Actually, really well. And listening online, thank God for Christianity. I don't care what you believe. Feminists ought to be the biggest fans of Jesus Christ and Christianity. Rewind. Arabic, Jews, Roman, these are the cultures we had. Women were property. Women were property. Jesus is the one who first sat down with the woman by the well, right? The Samaritan woman. Jesus is the one who encouraged women to follow him as well and continued to do so. Women won't follow someone they can't trust or believe in. Hello? Women won't follow someone they don't feel safe around. So rewind there, old-fashioned tough guy, whose church told you that you get to be mean to your wife when you've had a bad day. Is that what we're talking about? Yeah. Get to overrule her, pound your fist on the table. Is that what we're talking about? Is that what a real man does? Is that man? No, it's not at all. I don't care what you... No, you're wrong if you think that. Let's do this, Bruce. If that's what you think, you need to repent. Change direction, acknowledge wrong, and go a different direction. Jesus, I'm sorry for the way I've treated my wife and children. They were not tools for me to rule over. They were not my subjects in this house. They were my responsibility. Number one, being that man means you are responsible. We're to be little Christ. Here's a leadership metaphor that kept me out of leadership in church for 5 years. Anybody know Jim Ferriter? He's an orthodontist or dentist, yeah? I put my stamp of approval. Oh, there's his handiwork over there. He is one of the wisest men I've ever met on the planet. I mean that. I hang out with Jim whenever I can. It's probably weird. Because if I see him at the gas station, I shuffle up next to him. I'm like, can you just talk a little bit? He's like, I got to pump my gas. I'm not joking. So I took him out to dinner one time because we were thinking about having a small group for college kids. And I'm going to not say what I was about to say. It might be negative toward other church structures. I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to say in this instead. I'm going to say Jim was encouraging when other folks were hesitant and talking about covering and encouraging you to do nothing instead of meeting needs. But Jim says this, and I was always, Terry, I was kind of thinking about leadership in church because God was going, you know how you know you're a leader, by the way? It's simple. Look behind you. Are people following? If your kids grow up and you want to know if they're a leader, look at them on the field. Are people asking them? That's it. That's it. There's a leadership gift. People following? Okay, so we're talking about this. I promise I'll get to men. Do you know what leadership in church is like? Spiritual leadership. It's not lording over. It's not getting my way or what I like. Here's what it is. This is what Jim said to me. And again, I'll tell you what happened. He says, you ever been to a construction site early in the morning? And I said, well, I've done construction. Yeah, he goes, let's say you're seeing a group of guys walk into the job site. Leadership is just the guys that are carrying the heaviest tools. And I went, he's totally right. We all got the same job to do. But the ones God has set are leaders and men. You're just carrying the heavier tools. We've all got to walk with Christ, don't we? Men, you got more responsibility. There you go. Not privilege, not power, more responsibility. And that hit me so hard because it was so true that I said, cool. And I didn't get in leadership for church for 6-7 years. Because I didn't want it. I was like, I don't want more responsibility because I understand it. Do you see what I'm trying to say? I healthily said, oh, that's what that is? It's not, oh, Pastor AJ. It's not prestige. That's why you guys don't give me any prestige. Thank you for that. I don't want it. You don't. No, I mean, you might respect me. I don't know, but I don't feel, this is not what it's about. It's responsibility, and I have to answer for it. Humility comes awfully easy when you understand that, by the way. It's not it's not far to fall when you know you're not standing up any higher than anybody else. Men, that's what it is too. You want to know what being a man is? You're carrying the heavier tools. That's what that means. Guys, come on. We'll go through the rest of the Bible where he says, bear with the weaker vessel. He's not putting you down. He's saying, I built you in different ways. Men, step up and be responsible. She's got things she's got to do and all that, but I'm not qualified to stand up here and be that woman message. I don't have it in me. I'm sorry, guys. I'm talking about the man thing. And I promise you, the man has more responsibility. So check yourself when you enter the door, because Jesus is looking at us, giving us responsibilities. That's masculinity too, isn't it? Ours is to be one carrying the heavy weight of responsibility. Okay, so if you embrace that you're a man, you're embracing that you do not have a position, you have a job to do. So let's get rolling because we're running out of time here. Now let's get into the hard teaching here. Number three, being a man means this. What does it mean to be a man? Okay, you are a man. You're there, okay? It means you have responsibility. Let's get into practical things. Number three, being a man means this. We go first. We lead in the hard stuff. That's what it means. Men, you know what your first job says, Jesus? Crucify yourself daily. That's what that means. Let's look at this. I'm going to show you a strength and honor sort of slide. A bunch of Greeks walk up. Greeks. Anybody remember Greek society? It's not quite Spartan. But you remember Greeks, guys? Ancient Greeks? Get that in your head. War, strength and honor, that stuff. So Greeks walk up. They came up to worship at the fast. They came to the disciples and said, "Sir, we'd like to see Yeshua." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew told Philip. They turned to Jesus. Jesus replied like this. He came right into it. He says, "Hey, I know." He knows what these guys are about, obviously. And he says this: "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Stop right there. He quoted a Greek saying. He said something that was popular in Greece. This was a popular agricultural thing. He was saying, unless something falls to the ground and dies. Greeks were all about glory on the battlefield, weren't they? Have you seen any movies? You could say 300. I mean, again, they're kind of close. Sparta wasn't Greece, was it? No, Sparta was its own thing. Right next door to Greece, I believe. He could say like this: unless a man gives of himself, society will never, you know, never prosper. They go, yes, strength and honor. That's what Jesus just said. And so what's the next thing? And again, it was a popular saying at the time. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Being a man is you go first. That's what it means. I wish I had this picture of leadership, of being a man. Because again, it's not power or privilege. It's responsibility. A leader goes first, says, "Watch, come on, follow me. I'll show you how this is done. I'll go the hard route," right? And the Greeks respected him for it and followed him for it, honestly. I'll go first, the hard stuff. I'll do what you need done. So that's our example. That's what we do as a man. Men, in your life, speak this, even starting today, like this: I'll show you what it looks like to follow Jesus. You'd say this to yourself, wife, children, watch me, I'll go first. That's what this means. I'll be the one saying, let's go to God's house on Sunday morning. I'll be the one saying, let's pray together. Whatever it may be, I'm not going to give you legalistic boxes to check. I'm not going to do that. Even so much as this: watch me as I fall and get back up. That's so big. Our kids need to know that. They need to learn how to fail. They need to learn how to be wrong. They need to learn how to apologize. I'll go first. This is such a big deal. This is what a sincere apologies look like. Jesus says that being a man is about, it's not about being perfect. We can take that burden right off of us. It's about abiding in him. I could tell you something. I think I told you, oh yeah, this is bad. This is going to make me look real bad. Let me see if I can get a lesser example of making it you look bad. Nope. All right. I'll stick with this one. Remember what I told you last week about being the head, how little kids have big heads? And I told you sometimes if I want Alex to go somewhere, I'll take his big little kid head and I'll just kind of push it. And the rest of his body follows, right? Come on, do you need me to demonstrate it? I'll get him up here. I'm kidding, I wouldn't do that. That's being the head, right? Where the head goes, the body follows. Well, one day, I was blowtorching these Japanese beetles. They're killing our rose bushes. I don't really care about them. But our strawberries that Krista gave us, they're decimating them. So I was like, no more. And I went and I got some flammable stuff. Alex, come here. I'll show you how to make a blowtorch. In retrospect, that probably wasn't the best idea. But I was so angry at these Japanese beetles. I'm like, stand over there. So sure enough, there's a bunch of them. And they're just, ugh. And I'm watching them all fall off. I'm laughing like the devil as I'm watching these things burn. Well, he's standing over here. And the wind's going this way. And I'm spraying this stuff that I don't even know what it is, but I know it's flammable. Move, buddy. Move, buddy. Come on. It's like in the middle of combat. You didn't have time. Move, buddy. Hey, come here. Move. And I pushed him too hard. And he topples over. And he puts his hands down, but he whacks his head on this dirt. I was like, oh, what just happened? I didn't like, oh, I didn't do that at all. I just kind of probably had two fingers on the back of his head, and I just kind of pushed him. She was there, gave me a mortified look. You're supposed to be the leader of this house. That's not what happened at all. The other stuff was not that part. And I pushed him down. I was like, oh, man. And he gets up, and he's got dirt in his face. And I see he, like, steals himself. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I was like, oh. So I killed some more beetles. And I moved over, and I got down on my knee. Because, again, parenting is done on your knee. And I said, come here, buddy. I'm sorry. You were over where the stuff was going. And I got kind of upset because I didn't want you breathing that stuff in. But I pushed you too hard. I'm sorry, buddy. Will you forgive me? And then he cried, of course. Oh, by the way, you might want to put your hands down when your head's going down. Just side note. Shh, we won't talk about that. I had to get down and say, Daddy was wrong. I'm a human being, you know? Like, that wasn't right. And that's important. Jesus never said it's about being perfect. I got an idea for you. I love to take things that happen in when we do like marital, when I do marital counseling or spiritual advising, whatever you want to call it. I love to take things and bring them to you. Let me show you what you could do if you can conquer apathy. Oh, and be that man. Is it plugged in? Let me show you what you could do today. A choice you could make to be this man. Ready for this? And by the way, this will sound like new news to you, some of you, but I promise you this is absolutely, you can do this. You could decide today that raising your voice in your home is no longer allowed. I'll give you a hint. If you and your spouse come see me, this is going to be day one. I lay down a rule and go, okay, number one, you don't get to yell at each other anymore. And they go, that's a thing? Yes, that's a thing. You can do it. And people look at me and blink and go, Okay, we'll try it. This guy. Men, go first. Make a choice that you're not going to raise your voice, that raising your voice in your home at your children or your wife is not allowed anymore. Seriously, this can be so much victory in this. And I want to say that I realize that, you know, this has happened, but you could sit there and say this. You could actually even say this. Now, here's the thing. Men, when you make changes in your life, most of the time I tell you, don't say anything about it. Women don't respect your words. They respect what they see. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because they've heard it before 100 times. I'm sorry, baby. I'm never going to do that, baby. Right? No. Richard Pryor I just channeled just then. Right? Don't talk about what you're going to do, men. Just go do it. Women respect what they see, not what they hear. Words will work so long, and then they'll shut right down. Here's what you could do. You could say this, though. Hey, I realize that that I've yelled before, guys, and I've said things I didn't want to say, but I'm not going to do that anymore. You could do that today, guys. You could go home and say, I'm not going to yell. I'm not going to name call. I'm going to turn that over to Jesus, and I'm going to stop doing that. You could do that, and then you go first. And the next time that fight is starting, you make a decision. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to go first. Do you realize that, men? It's all coming together, isn't it? Now you see what Jesus meant? Not power. Not beat your wife up. You be tender with those you love. Tender with the sheep and tough on the wolves. And don't get it twisted. You go first. I made reference to this with apologies, but you'd be surprised how much grace you can get from your kids and your wife if you're willing to humbly acknowledge your shortcomings and keep working on them. Dave Barnum. Anybody know Dave Barnum? Heck of a guy. Love him. They were teaching a class at a church I used to attend. Jamie filled in for Dave because Dave was, Dave, I don't know. He was supposed to be there. He wasn't. Jamie was in there. And she just kind of looked worn down, and this really set me free. These are leaders in the church I used to go to. And she's like, man, what a bad day. I got a huge fight with the kids, and I said to him, I said, you know, like, hey, I'm doing my best. You know, give me a break here. I'm just a human being. I'm trying the best I can. And you know how kids respond when you do that? When you humbly acknowledge and go first in humility? They give you grace. Hey, and that's why I said to Alex, man, I'm trying my best, dude. You know, I've said that to him before. I've said that before on different occasions I've had to apologize to him, and you know what he says? He's such a, I don't deserve this kid. He says, it's okay, Daddy. You're a real good daddy. That's what he says. And I'm like, don't cry. I say, like, I'm trying my best, buddy. He'll even say, like, you're trying your best. It's okay, Daddy. It's okay. But you know what's going to happen when he's 25 and he looks back on my failures? He's probably not going to go, he this and that. And he'll go, he did his best. Because here's what going first in apathy is this. Ready? If I acted like I was supposed to have all the answers and then I knew what I was doing, they'll hold me accountable to having all the answers and knowing what I'm doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Whereas you can get yourself off the hook in humility and go, I don't have all the answers and I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing my best. When they get older, they'll say that. Daddy was a guy. Daddy was a man just like me. He didn't know everything, but he did his best. Isn't that good? That's good practical teaching, isn't it? It's one thing you can do and go first. So you're a man and no one else can do it. What they need, what she needs. And being man means responsibility. So a bonus for today. Yeah, okay, bonus for today, and then we're shutting it down. That was where I wanted to end the message, and then God kind of spoke to me what we're going to be doing in the next couple weeks. Guys, one more thing. We really don't know how to do this, lots of men. We don't know. All we know is what Dad did. Do you understand that? So I'm literally going to take the time. And it's funny, the people I've talked to, thank you guys for listening to this. I've talked to some strange people that are watching this. Not strange, you're strange, we're strange, but I'm saying people I wouldn't have expected who are watching this in different states and all over going, someone can tell me how to be a man? The Munchkins, like when the Wicked Witch dies, they all come out and go, hey, he's got answers how to be a man. Thank you. Thank you. It's getting older now, right? We're getting old. What did I say during the fatherhood thing? T.D. Jakes laid out a framework that I'm going to take as demand. A man protects, provides, promotes, is a priest and a prophet. There's your guide map, okay? You now have work orders for how to be a man. So today we're just going to touch one, and then we're going to get out of here. Women, do you see where you can get a lot out of this too? Some of you maybe rolled your eyes week one, but this isn't just for men. But tell you what, if your man does this stuff, life's going to get better for you. Number one, and I'm going to do this. You're going to memorize this. Protect, provide, pray, profit, promote. We'll do it in order, and I'll give you something so you can see it. So every day when you put your head down and you say, was I a good man today, you can go through the checklist, which is awesome. I wish somebody gave that to me at 17. Okay, protector. Yes, physically. I'm going to touch this for 10 seconds. Have a plan. If you're not, just have a plan. Protect your family. Lock the door at night. Learn what I say last week. You know, learn basic firearm stuff, whatever. You're the one who's supposed to protect. I don't care if your wife is Ronda Rousey. I don't care if your wife is the toughest woman on the planet. You go downstairs when there's noise in the middle of the night. Do you understand that? She can come down and clean up the mess, but you go first. If someone tries to mug you, you don't go get him, baby. You don't do that. You take a beating first, then she'll come in and do the beating. It's fine. But that's what we're called to. You go first. Protector. Okay. You ready for this? Okay, here we go. You ready? Number one thing a man does to be a man or don't. It's your choice. Number one, you are to protect. You protect her and your kids from your temper, from your selfishness, from your tendency to be hurtful, from your tendency to shut them out or freeze them out when it's too much. Watch me and I'll go first. You protect them from you. Yeah? I know lots of us are going, wow, so-and-so did not do that. I get it. He didn't do a good job being a man. But what we're going to do today is we're going to move past that stuff, and I'm going to lay it out. Whoever wants to choose to be a man and a good man, that man can do it. Number one, you protect. You protect your wife and kids from you and the things that you're wrestling through too. The stuff that daddy handed you that's abusive and hurtful or neglectful or just, you got to fight that, wrestle through it. You have to do that. Watch me and I'll go first. I'm going to protect you from my job. Oh, hear me on this. I'm going to slow down. You guys can handle 5 more minutes. I'm going to protect you, wife and kids, from my job instead of walking in the door with all the pressure valve about to burst and then you're the lucky last straw. Ah, Bill, you give me strength. You give me strength, Bill. Men, we get deployed. We go out to work and people lay a bunch of stuff on us. And then the name of trying to provide and do all this sort of stuff, the pressure valve goes. And instead of protecting them from your day, you bring it into your home. You break right past that strong man and it spews all over your family. Ugh. I may have had a parent, no names, who for some reason was a really good person at work and really nice and came home and beat the snot out of us at home. And I don't mean physically. I mean took everything out from there onto here. And I never understood that. A man protects from that. We're the ones that you're supposed to be nice to. I'm not supposed to be hearing from other people how cool you are and going, who are you talking about? I'm supposed to get the best of you. We're your family. Why in this Western culture is it okay to come home and kick the dog if you've had a bad day? Come on. We do, don't we? If you have a reason, an excuse to come home and be mean, you do it. But meanwhile, your coworkers think you're just a peach. What? Your coworkers aren't going to be there for you when you're sick and dying. Your coworkers aren't going to do a whole life with you. They get reassigned. You'll never see them again. Your Facebook friends. Your best comes home to your family. Men getting back to protection. Your pressure valve is up. You stop at that door. You do another lap. Don't bring that into your house. Do you understand that? You have a choice. That's what a good man does. I said this before. There was a day coming home from HSBC, which people get ugly with their money. I will never work at a bank again. Glory to God if you work at a bank. It's terrible. It's hell. I could keep going. It's not of God. It is. God bless you people. Amy in the back too. It's awful. We used to bet on who would cry each day. I never cried, but I used to punch stuff in the basement. It was bad. But anyway, so we come home. I come home, and I'm wound up like a spring, you know? And I'm in the kitchen, and Melanie comes in, and I was like, something happened. I expected something, timing, blah, blah, just something stupid. I don't even remember where. I was like, blah, 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 blah. No, I'm sorry. One of those. And I was like... And a little voice inside of me said, if you don't tell her that you've had a bad day, she's going to continue to be part of the problem. But if you tell her about it, she'll become part of the solution. Did you just hear about that? Men, you want to lead? You want to go first? You've had a bad day. Don't bring it home. Bring it home to her. I've had a really rough day. I don't really want to talk about it, but man, I just... Whew. And then she'll go, oh, I'm sorry, honey. I'm on your team. But if you don't do that, step up and lead, the little things she does, like chewing croutons too loud and taking too long, it's hypothetically. I shouldn't have looked when I said it. She becomes another reason I'm angry. Do you understand that? I got to stop at that door, and I got to take the day off before I come home to them. Let me do this even further, because a man will do this. If you're having a real bad day and your boss... just cranks on you, and he's the one spewing, he or she's the one that's spewing a bunch of crap onto you. And if you go home and dump it onto them, you just let your boss hurt your kid through you. Any man will get up and go, not today, when you think about it that way. If your boss cranked you up and you turn home and attack them, he did that. Protect your wife and kids from that and from your work day. If you do another lap. Guys, you're better off being 2 minutes late to the house than bringing home that yuck. Jesus. I need another laugh, Lord. And some more Hillsong or whatever's on that radio. I do. Are we following me? A good man protects. I got another one. Here's one I'm working on. Melanie, pretend you're not here. I have to protect her from crazy expectations that I have. You all get so much grace from me. So many people, they're just working on it. Bless them. And for some reason, I'm super hard on my wife. I expect her to be me, is what I'm trying to say. You should see me around the house. I force myself to be ambidextrous because I'm bored. So I could be sitting there doing stuff. I move very fast around my home. And so that's what I expect of her. You ain't make that peanut butter jelly yet? The kids are yelling, man. You know what I mean? Or pour this and twist that when you're not holding a microphone. Do four different things at once. Catch that as it falls. I expect her to be me. I have to protect her from whatever expectations came down on me. And I know where it comes from. My parents expected that of me. Perfection. There was no room for mistakes. Why'd you do that? I'm sorry, it was a mistake. No, you're still going to be punished. There's no such thing. And so I got to protect her from expectations I have inside of myself. Men, protect your wife from that and your kids. They're not you. They're not you at all. You got to protect them from yourself. I'm out of time now. And we're going to sing a worship song. But next week, we're going to look at that man. We're going to do provide. And it's not going to be what you think. It's easy to go get a job and bring home money. It's hard to provide you without walls. That's a good one. We'll look at promote, using your words in action to promote people. So we're going to keep going. I touched on them on Father's Day, and we're going to talk about what that looks like as a man. We're going to do a few more weeks of that man. So guys, you are a man now. You may not have a specific day, but that means you're responsible. You got to become what they need through Christ who gives you strength. Lead, go first, and walk by faith. So let's sing Walk by Faith by Jeremy Camp. There's a lot of power in declaring, so that's what we're going to do today. Will I believe you when you say that your hand will guide my every way? Will I receive the words you say every moment of every day? Will I walk by faith even when I cannot see? Yeah, because this broken
so faithful for all my years. With one breath you make me new. Your grace covers all I do. I will walk by faith, even when I cannot see. Yeah, because this broken road prepares your will for me. Yes, I will walk by faith, even when I cannot see. Yeah, because this broken road prepares your will for me. But I'm broken, but I still see your face. And you've spoken, pouring your words of grace. So in response, I will walk by faith, even when I cannot see. Yeah, because this broken road prepares your will for me. Yes, I will walk by faith, even when I cannot see. Because this broken road prepares your will for me. Let's worship. Let's sing hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's keep with hallelujahs. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity to come alongside you, Lord God, and be strengthened by you, to receive what you would have to give us and become the men, even the women, you'd have us to be. But Father, we want to just say right now, we cannot do this without you. Lord, we want to be that man. I want to be that man, Father God. I want to be strong and faithful and true and pure and self-controlled and all the things you've told us to be, Father. But we're still wrestling, Lord God. We're still wrestling. We're not where we want to be, Father. Help us to become the men you called us to be. Men that shine your light of masculinity into this world. Shine your light of responsibility, Father. Help us to be tender with those you've given us, and tough on those who would oppose them and your will for our lives. So, Father, this week, Lord God, we ask that you'd show us areas that we could carry more responsibility, or where we're dropping the ball, Father. We open ourselves to you and acknowledge right now we're dust. We're only doing what we saw Dad do. We don't know what we're doing, Father God. Show us, Lord God. We surrender to you, Father. You're our commander-in-chief. We want to do things your way, Lord Jesus, but we need you. Help us to become the men and women that you're calling us to be. We surrender to you and your love. We thank you, Lord Jesus.
Well, hallelujah, hallelujah.
We do worship you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
We trust you. Without you, we cannot get there, but we know that through you we can. Show yourself strong in our lives. In your name, Lord Jesus, you alone are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We love you and worship. Amen. All right, buddy. Have a great week.